Welcome to the Strangers on the Way podcast, where daily interaction with a stranger can transform your life. We hope today's episode inspires you to meet your own strangers on the way. Welcome to the Strangers on the Way podcast. I am so excited to have today's guest with me, Jen Manable. I have known Jen, oh my goodness, over a decade. We were in a girls small group together, and I have loved just Jen's zest for life. She comes from a beautiful legacy of faith, and she's like a risk taker, I would say. And I love that about her. She goes for her dreams. And so, Jen, welcome to the podcast. So excited to have you today.
Good morning, Lauren. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I just like to add that it's actually been almost 15 years.
Oh my goodness. That,
I was 30 when I first started coming to the chapel.
Wow.
And Lauren previously stated, yes, I have such a wealth of knowledge and faith in my family. From the time I was born to now, I've always been a Christian, raised in a Christian household. My parents, my grandparents on both sides are either elders or priests within a non-denominational church. My mom and my grandma are like on fire for God. God gives them visions, speaks through them all the time, and shares lots of his words and visions with them, who then in turn, share it with me, and I internalize it. And it's just like so wonderful, to just know to have that faith. Not being able to see God, it's really all about faith. So when you do have that faith, it's just like nothing else, and then you have wonderful people like yourself to share it with. So anyway, again, I started Sunday school class. I was like probably 1 year old. I did baptismal classes and was baptized when I was 8. I was rebaptized just a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago at the chapel. But I've just been on an incredible journey throughout my whole life, obviously ups and downs, and maybe fell away from the church a little bit when I was in college, and maybe at the beginning of my marriage. But, since I divorced and since I'm out of college, I've just been so much closer to the Lord and always turn to Him, always rely on Him. I ask for laying on of hands often, when I'm sick, when I'm looking for something new or different in my world, and know that, it's God that has that plan. I always ask for prayer and laying on of hands, or anointing, which they called in my parents' church. But anyway, one of the stories that I wanted to share is when I was about 30. So this was 14 years ago. I had gone to my parents' church my whole life, and it is a very small community church, also in Libertyville. They're probably about 25 to 50 members at any given time. So it's always been kind of a small church, not real any children there. It is very faithful church, lots of support. I love it. However, I just felt like I was missing something while going there and being one of the youngest people there. So I remember standing about when I was 30 years old, singing the hymnal, and I felt God say to me, "You need a new church." I'm like, okay, this is so weird to be saying to me in church while I'm singing hymnals and praising you. And I was confused at first, prayed about it a little bit more, heard it again. So, and at that time, let's see, I would have been 30. So my daughter would have been like 6 and my son would have been about 4. So they had only ever known my parents' church. So the very next week, I don't know why the chapel, I don't know if it was close by, but obviously it was because God was leading me there, right? Which just happened to be right up the street, like a mile. And I'm like, well, this is great. This is close. I was so nervous, because obviously our church size was you know, like 50 people. And then you get to this chapel, this huge building with people greeting you, people coming up to you, saying hello. And then you go into the chapel doors, into the auditorium, and it's just like very overwhelming for your first time. Again, I had never been to another church other than weddings. So anyway, I remember sitting there and I was very nervous. I was in like the third row, I think, at the time. And I know God completely orchestrated this. But the very first person to introduce themselves, turn around to say hello to me, was Lynn Clay. And following that week, she told me about her her Yaz, Young and Sassy group of girls, and her Bible study. And I was a little bit older than the 20s, which most girls are, but she welcomed me. And from there, I invited my best friend, Rachel, who came, and I attended it for years and years. So it was just absolutely remarkable that God orchestrated Lynn with, you know, this amazing, outstanding, just beautiful personality and just like confident and outgoing. She just made me feel very comfortable. And to be invited into something, you know, when you start something new, is always very refreshing and just makes you feel welcome. So that started my journey at the chapel. I currently attend both churches. So I'll go to my mom's church, you know, like when she's preaching or my grandma's preaching, and then I'll go to the chapel on other Sundays. But that's just one of the many blessings that has happened, that God led me to the chapel. I can think of two examples kind of recently that I know 100% were God. I had gone to a concert to see the Backstreet Boys 2 summers ago, and it was it was an amazing concert. I'm not gonna lie, they were even handsomer than they were when they were younger. So I first saw them on my 21st birthday, and then I saw them again 21 years later. So I was 42. So I went with a girlfriend, and when you go to it was the World, I forget what it's called now. Do you know what it's called? The one in Tinley Park. Anyway, So we went to that. And they have this really large hill, which is, for all the people that don't have seats, you just have like, you know, general seating. So my girlfriend had brought a chair, but the chair was too tall for, you know, other people to sit behind her. We didn't know that there was like a requirement of height. So we had to take the chair back to my car. Well, at the time I went and was going to run it back to my car for her. Had my keys, but I didn't realize that you had to hold the panic button down to find your car. I had never done it. I just kept pushing it. And I never found my car. I didn't know how to work panic button to get back out from the concert. So anyways, what I had done, I never found my car. So I took that chair and I put it under some random car that I thought might be kind of close to the row that I thought that I had parked in. And we ended up leaving a little bit like during the last song so that I could run out and find that chair, you know, and my girlfriend told me how to use the alarm and unlock my car, or how to make it beep, you know, continuously beep so I could find the car, which we did. So we get in the car, I'm driving around, looking under the two rows that I think it's in. We never found the chair. So I was like, oh, shucks. And it was a Chicago Bears set. So I had a set and I was like, darn it. Those are my chairs for all my outings. So we never found that chair. So the next day I'm home and I think I was going to my niece's soccer game. And I go into my trunk to put something in there and the chair is there. The chair is in my trunk. I never found the chair. I never put it back into my car. So God absolutely 100% put that lawn chair back into my car.
I love that.
So that was like, I had like goosebumps when it happened. I didn't believe it at first. And I guess it was lack of faith, but I said, I had asked around my family, like, Cole, my son, I'm like, did you put a chair in my car? Like I asked like my daughter and they're like, what are you talking about, mom? So, and it was the match to my set. So it was just unbelievable. But so that was one thing that happened.
I love that.
A couple of months ago, I haven't received child support from my ex-husband for a long time. So I was hurting a little bit financially. My daughter is a sophomore in college. It's very expensive. She joined a sorority. So, you know, I just had extra expenses and my finances were not providing what I needed. So I had been praying and praying. And this was October, actually. So I had been my new job for 7 months. And out of the blue, I had interviewed with another company several weeks before I got hired at the job that I'm at. And it was really promising. I thought I was going to get hired. It was close to my house. Turns out the guy who position I was going to take over, he decided to retire for another year or two. So that spot did not open up and the job was not there. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then I found the job that I'm at now, which was great. And, you know, and I really was enjoying it. Well, that day was a Thursday and the very next day was a Friday and it was my yearly review. Even though it was only like 7-8 months, that's when they do it, is in October. It was the very next day after I had been offered this job position. And I told the guy, I said, the only way I would take this job if it was $10,000 more than what I made. So the very next day, which was the day that I had my my job review, he had sent me this offer letter. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. I'm going into my review with a new offer. What do I say? So I wasn't going to tell my coworker because I knew she would be sad if I left, but I decided to tell her anyways. And she says, you got to ask him to give you that amount. I said, what? She goes, you got to ask him for a $10,000 raise. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of ballsy. I'm like, I don't know that I want to do that. So anyway, I went into my review. The review went so well. He praised me, told me like how much he valued me and how I was such a good fit here and how the culture matched ours. And he asked if there was anything that I wanted to add. And I said, you know, I love working here, but I need to tell you that I was offered another job and, you know, I really need the money. I'm a single mom. And they offered me $10,000 more. And I said, so I don't know how you feel, but I said, if you can match it, I would absolutely love to stay here. Again, that was a Friday. He's like, yeah, I think that can work. He's like, give me till Monday. And because I had to let the other guy know by Monday, he goes, give me till Monday and I'll let you know. So on Sunday, he had sent me an email. They had decided to match it, offer it. I got my raise. It started in February. So I am just like overjoyed. I know that was God orchestrating because he knew my need financially. And just how coincidental is that I would have gotten that job interview or job offer the day before my review, which turned out to be all good things. And I probably would have never gone in and just asked him if I hadn't had a job review. So
right,
that was just an incredible experience. And I'm super happy about that. So I have stayed. I have an amazing coworker. She's one of my best, closest friends now. Wow. And she is actually Mormon. So we have so many things in common and we're both very God-led. So I know God brought her into my life.
Yeah.
I was brought into her life. So we've just had like an amazing experience working together, sharing stories of God. She's gotten to know my mom and my grandma. She's more like family now. She's been to my church. She came to my church 2 Sundays ago for Palm Sunday. And, you know, it's just been, God's been doing some great things in my life. So that is, you know, what I wanted to share with you today. Yeah. Did you have any other questions?
Well, it's so beautiful. Jen, right before you popped on, I felt like God gave me, this is like what I consider my life verse, but I felt like he gave it to me for you. And it's 1 Peter 2:9 out of the Passion Translation. You are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time we were not God's people, but now we are. At one time we knew nothing of his mercy, but now we're drenched with it. And I just feel like, as like I can feel the presence of God, just the peace and the joy of God as you're speaking. And you are a woman who just, it does, like, you carry this legacy of faith that was given through your mom and your grandma, and it's continuing with you. And it's just so beautiful to see. And I love, like, that God is a God of, like, miracles and signs and wonders. And that's exactly, like, you're broadcasting his wonders, like the lawn chair showing up. Like, God is funny. And then orchestrating, he orchestrates so many different details that we don't always see, you know, when we're, like, in seasons of lack or, you know, needing provision. But it's like he's weaving all these things together. And it's just so evident to see that in your life.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And the scripture that you just stated to me that you felt like God was saying to you is almost exactly what Prakash had said to me when he spoke over me when, what was that, like two or three years ago? Nice. And he prophesied. He used many of the words that you just shared in that scripture and about how God thought I was a ruby and his chosen one and that I would pray for many nations and the world. And so that's he's telling you what he feels. So
yes. Oh, it's so beautiful. Prakash is a friend of ours who hears from the voice, like really just hears from God's heart really clearly for people and encourages them. So that's what she was referencing. And oh yeah, you are such a treasure. Like there's a beauty that you carry.
Such a treasure. Yes. Everybody, when I speak about you to anybody that knows you, they're like, oh, she's just the light. She's just a wonder. Mm-hmm. I love how comforting and the way you make people feel like, and are you always like, you're so beautiful, I love you, like there just are. Isn't said enough, like, you know, like people just don't say that enough. So I really appreciate that you do that. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, everyone thinks that about you, like you're just mm-hmm. a wonderful light vision for God to carry on here on this earth. So thank you for that, and thank you for asking me.
I love that. I'd love to ask you too, as a single mom, I just think single moms are the most amazing people on earth.
you would know, right? with the stars, I mean.
Yes, yes. What have you learned and how have you grown? And I just think single moms are literally the strongest people on the planet. Like any wisdom, or say there's like a single mom listening that just needs some encouragement today, like what would you say to them?
I would say, okay, so I have very different relationships with both of my kids. My daughter just turned 20. My son's going to be 18. And when my son was little, like from the time he was born till the time he was 12, he was so close to me. Mommy's little boy wanted to do everything with me. He does not want to do anything anymore at all. Okay. So he actually does live at home. He's 17 and my daughter is away at school at Arizona, but I see her more. I talk to her more. I FaceTime her. I text her more. And people keep saying to me, don't worry, your son's going to come back to you when he's like 25. Mm-hmm. It's just like a completely different dynamic and just crazy how things have changed with me being so close to Cole. Now me being so close to Taylor.
Yeah.
So I guess my advice for moms would be just, you know, they're trying to figure out who they are and they want to be independent and do their own thing. So don't be disappointed or feel slighted when they decide that they would rather spend time with their friends and want their privacy. And you only see them for maybe a minute a day in the kitchen when they're coming to get food. Like, don't feel sad about that. God will bring them back to you. And just continue the relationship that you have. Try to make it as strong as the child is willing. And just like keep strong with the faith that someday you and your child will be close like you once were or wish to be.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Beautiful. I know we just have a couple minutes left. Would you mind, you talked about just the power of prayer in your own life and like laying on of hands is one way of prayer. But I believe that we can lay on hands almost in the digital realm too. So would you mind just sharing a prayer, whatever's on your heart for the list, like people listening? I just think you carry this legacy of faith and just trust And it's beautiful just to see God working in your life. So I'd love to impart that to our listeners today.
Absolutely. Dear Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And we just want to be close to you and feel your presence. And we know that in this day and age, this world isn't as close to you. And there maybe have been some followers that have fallen away from you. But we pray that in these coming decades and these days that you will just open everyone's hearts and eyes and minds to the power of prayer and faithfulness and just people getting together in community. Because you know that we can lift each other up when we are all together, worshiping you, talking about you and the marvels that you do, the things that you do in everyday lives, the things that you do that are miraculous, the healings that you provide, just the wonderful wisdom and knowledge that you also give to us. And we ask that you just be a spiritual guide to everyone, and that we as Christians can share that faith and the delight in you with everyone that we meet. So we thank you and we ask these things in your name, and just to have grace upon all of your followers and those who you are trying to bring close to you. We love you, Lord, and we look forward to the amazing things that you will soon do here on earth. Amen.
Amen. Oh, so good. Oh, Jen, thank you so much. I love this story.
Thank you so much.
I know they were an encouragement to people, and just thank you for sharing your life.
Absolutely. Love you, Lauren.